Other business. And we have one item. One or two?
Two.
Two. Oh, my goodness, two.
Thought you were getting out of here.
Yeah, well.
Kim.
Tail bangers.
Just a second.
Preliminary site plan. We just hold on one second real quick.
This is a preliminary site plan for a 9,375 square foot commercial storage building to be added in addition to the existing 4,946 square foot commercial building with associated parking and loading areas on a 1.97 acre parcel of land that is accessed from Betts Pond Road. Tax parcel ID is District 133, Map 16, Parcel 59. The zoning district is C1, General Commercial District. Staff are awaiting agency approvals. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to tail bangers.
Preliminary site plan?
Preliminary site plan. I move for approval of the preliminary site plan with final site plan approval subject to staff upon all agency approvals.
There we go.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve a tail bangers preliminary site plan as a preliminary with final to be by the staff subject to receipt of all other approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Lands of Sharp Farms, minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement to create one additional parcel measuring approximately 1 acre from a larger parcel measuring approximately 124.18 acres located off Painter Road. The easement is over an existing driveway. The tax parcel is District 235, Map 16, Parcel 2. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Staff are awaiting agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to Lands of Sharp Farms, I move for approval of the minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement with final approval by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement for Lands of Sharp Farms. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right then. Unless anyone has a severe objection, we're going to go back and revisit our public hearings, and then we'll have our discussion of the land use plan at the very end. Does that sound fair? That way these folks don't have to sit through all that.
That's reasonable.
Great. Okay, thank you. Our first public hearing, referring back to our public hearings, our first public hearing was the subdivision 2018-8 Streams Edge Estates.
Can I make just, I'll throw out a couple thoughts on this one for y'all to consider. So there was, I think Mr. Hopkins raised the point, several others did, about the information about where the location of those contamination areas were in relation to the lots. It strikes me that you may want to consider leaving the record open for a revised preliminary site plan showing where the location of that soil was. There was another thing to consider. There was enough questions about the feasibility study, but they didn't really ever say what the feasibility study was. You know, maybe that should be submitted into the record so you all could see that. Just those a couple things to think about. One other thing, let me back up. We've had some of these brownfields before, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but my recollection is in most cases where we've had brownfields, they've been on condominiums or situations where, or apartments, where somebody owns the land and a person or an organization has control over that land. Here we've got, certainly that would be the case, I guess, with the open space, but we've got some lots where, we have soils existing on the lots. I point that out. Do you want to see that remediation completed and signed off on? Do you want to leave the record open for that? In other words, or do you want to say they've got to do that before final site plan? Because essentially you're approving preliminarily lots that you don't know are yet approved by DENREC. If I'm explaining that very well, I don't know if I am.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I can't get over, or I can't get by, how it's just, you just put, cover it up instead of get rid of it. I have a hard time getting my hand around that.
Well, that would be, I think, what would be shown in the feasibility study that DENREC apparently has signed off on. At least you would know what it says. You know, that, I don't think that was ever submitted into the record. They just sort of talked about it.
So, I mean, you're going to have this stuff on lots.
No, it's going to be in one location.
Right. Yeah, but it came from lots. I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
I still can't get my head around that at all.
Well, I mean, that's been done before, again, with condos. Like, there's one on, is it Old Orchard Road in Lewis that I can think of, where, you know, they had to go scrape out a whole bunch of stuff, I guess. Or,
they
you know,
got rid
or
of it, right?
Yeah, you know, and they couldn't get a C of O, I don't think, for those structures until that was completed. You know, but again, that was like duplexes or something like that.
Right. We've done apartments and a couple of instances.
Arbors at Cottage
Dale. Arbors at Cottage Dale is the one that comes most immediately to mind. I'm pretty sure that I remember, though, that material was all taken away. I have to tell you, I'm deeply troubled by this application. I'm not sure that I'm going to get comfortable with it, frankly. I just think it's a
this crummy and this and that and the other. I mean, she could probably explain it, but
if the stuff is so bad that it's going to cost $200,000 or $300,000
to throw it away,
15
so now we're going to keep
loads
it
of dirt out. But yeah. But DENREC is going to allow you just to put some polyethylene on top of it.
I also have a concern too with them saying, you know, okay, so 2012 it was okay by the standards, and then it's going to be reevaluated in another time frame, as I understood him say, and that's going to be back on the owner. So are we going to have a level of security that there's going to be funds there to take care of whatever remediation may have to be done?
And who's going to own it? I mean, who owns it in perpetuity? If the HOA doesn't buy it, then who owns it? Who physically has it?
I understood him to say the developer.
The developer.
But okay, what guarantee do we have that it's going to be?
The developer's going to be an LLC, okay?
And they have
who is going to have $8 in the bank,
right,
when this thing is done, okay? So, I mean, there's not going to be, there is nothing good about this, okay, in my humble opinion.
It does not get past my smell test.
I mean, I just can't find the good part of this.
I believe you've heard me talk health, safety, and welfare on several occasions, and I mean, this is
I just think for us to approve something like this in this area and to with the stuff, and I can't imagine how you're going to market this with all the other stuff there is out there to buy.
And you're building on a landfill.
You're going to say, you know, come to our place where our amenity is a toxic waste thing. You know, that's our site amenity. I mean, you know.
Somebody said something about you could sit in the stormwater pond and dip your feet in the water.
I mean, I'm just, that's where I am. Anyway.
No, I will say, just remember, you have approved residential uses on brownfield sites.
Yeah, I know. I don't want you to say that you're kind of
leaning down the path of saying that we should never do this when we've done it in the past.
No, I agree. You're right. We have done it, and we've done it where the debris was removed. There was a landowner. There was a... just seemed like there, you know, there weren't going to be individual lot owners having to be involved, and that's the, you know, that's the scary part of it for me. But I'm willing to remain open to any other, you know, mitigating conversation, or leave the record open to receive additional data if we want to. I mean,
I would like additional data. I'd like to know how bad is this stuff. I mean, you know, maybe they're like, oh no, you can. Salamanders live off this stuff. You know, I don't know.
But I do know for a fact.
Arsenic, not good. I got that part.
But with the salt or the pressure treated lumber stuff had to be changed a few years ago, and what they used to pressure treat the lumber, because that stuff was outlawed because of the chemicals.
Yeah. And this is the old stuff.
Yes,
it is. The old stuff is the stuff that they don't use anymore. But, well, that being said, and Ms. Hoey Stevenson has asked for additional information to be the opportunity for additional information to come in, and I would suggest that we want to honor that. And
I'd like to see the feasibility study and actually get more. I don't know, what can we ask DENREC? They've signed off, they haven't really signed off.
Well, why don't we just, what you could do is maybe make a motion to defer action, leaving the record open to receive additional information from whomever we'd like to receive it from, and you don't have to be specific about it. That way they can send us everything they have.
That sounds wonderful. I will make that motion to please leave the record open to receive additional information.
Second it.
I just would say, if you want, in addition to that, you might want to add, but specifically the feasibility study and the location of the contaminated soils on the site now.
I would add that to my motion.
You get all that.
Yeah.
You still second it?
And I was still second.
That's okay.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2018-8, Streams Edge Estates, leaving the record open to receive the, what do you call it?
Additional information and...
Additional information.
To include the feasibility.
To include the feasibility study, the, you want the boring locations?
The location of contamination areas on the site.
And there you go.
Because, yeah, the engineers...
And any other information that they think would be useful to us in our decision-making process.
Regarding the environmental concerns.
Regarding the environmental concerns. Okay, you got all that?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad, because I'm not repeating it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay, our next item is subdivision 2018-9, Oak Landing.
With the, just a question about the agreements that these guys between Mr. Clark and the developer have not officially made yet.
Now, so, and that's what Janelle and I were talking about. They were made previously in 2005, yes. Mm-hmm. And we asked that Mr. Fuqua submit that agreement because everybody agreed to it. We just don't have it in the record. So this one, the record needs to be held open specifically for that. We can't close the record today because if it came in tomorrow, then it would be technically outside.
Okay,
so
just move
for action with leaving the record open.
Exactly.
For that agreement.
Yes, okay. That's what I would ask, to leave it open, but...
For receipt of a copy of the 2005 agreement with the adjacent property owners.
Okay.
Do you have other questions or something?
Yeah, no. Did you have anything else?
And that, so moved.
Okay. Second.
Second. Okay. It's been moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2018-9, Oak Landing, leaving the record open to receive copies of
the 2005 agreement with the adjacent property owner.
There you go. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
On that one, too, just so you know, that agreement was it was referenced in the 2005 approval.
Right.
But it never said what the agreement actually was.
What it was, yeah. Okay. All right, good. Well, we'll get that. Our next public hearing was conditional use number 2136, Christine A. Dignan.
Okay, on this one, I'm asking about keeping the record open just because these were specific conditions, and I would like to have Dr. Dignan to have time to read through them and see if she agrees to them, and we don't have to even worry about them. If she says sure, that'd be great. So, can we do that, or have for additional?
Well, yeah, I think you can leave the record open. And one of the things that I just thought of this, was remiss on the last two. Generally, we have a period of time that we leave the record open. We don't usually say we're leaving the record open for a certain period of time, which we did not do.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that those two.
I don't think it matters too much on those, but generally it's 15 days. You know, we'll leave the record open for 15 days to give the applicant the opportunity to respond in writing to the commission regarding the conditions that were presented by Mr. Cole.
That sounds like a great motion. Boy, I'm on fire tonight.
There you go. Yeah, you're doing it. You're doing a wonderful job. Just don't ask me to say it again.
So I do make that motion then, to keep the record open for 15 days so that the applicant may respond in writing to the conditions proposed by Mr.
Second.
Mr. and Mrs. Cole.
It's moved and seconded to defer action on the conditional use number 2136, Christine A. Dignan, leaving the record open to receive the applicant's response to the proposed conditions submitted by Mr. and Mrs. Cole. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item, next public hearing was conditional use number 2138, Walker Construction Incorporated.
Mr. Chairman, I would move for deferral for conditional use 2138 Walker Construction for further consideration.
Second.
Moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2138 Walker Construction for further consideration by the commission. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that completes our public hearings for the evening. Let's go back to our one item of additional business, discussion of the comprehensive plan. I had asked Ms. Cornwell to, since County Council is now seems to be poised to send the report on to the state, to at least kind of give us an update as to what's different from what we sent.
So there were a lot of, I'm going to call them tweaks to goals, objectives, and strategies. They changed things here and there in most of the chapters. The significant chapters that were changed were economic development, which is what the Planning Commission had deferred to the County Council to take a look at, because that was really more their wheelhouse, as it was stated by the Commission, than the Commission's, you know, area of expertise. So that one was changed slightly. Things were consolidated. Things were moved around a little bit. And that's really what happened there. I think there was more of an emphasis. It was recognized the importance of tourism. So that area actually increased a little bit. The area about forest land was slightly reduced, while recognizing its importance, you know, recognizing the importance of tourism and ag a little bit more in that chapter. In the housing chapter, there was actually some added data that we were going through the state's review, and then noticed that we needed to add some information about, you know, the number of subdivisions that have been reviewed and the number of lots. So we added a table about that, and we also added some information about the number of building permits that have been issued to make sure we had that information for the state. The mobility chapter, the concepts all remained the same, but it was honestly rearranged for formatting. The use of the committee is still in, and it was actually council really liked that idea. What they did take out was who's going to be on the committee, how the committee functions, because to them, that was more details than what should be in a comprehensive plan, but the idea of the committee is definitely in the plan.
Took a little bit of convincing. I think I will say on that council, I'm not sure, fully appreciated initially the usefulness of that committee, or the purpose of it, I guess. And there was, and I don't know if it was a misunderstanding, but there was, I think, an initial assumption that somehow that would be a committee of the state or authorized by the state. I think that misperception came about because Fritz Schrank came in, and he used to represent state and Delta and everything else, and he had a question about, I don't know, some state statutory requirement, and we said, no, it's not that type of committee, this is a county one. So anyhow, but I think we got council back on track with that, and particularly understanding the importance of it. And I will say, particularly in light of what we see every Thursday, we have a meeting, you know, and that's, you know, just to try to keep tabs on what's happening and do a better job of being proactive towards DLDOT about what needs to be done, you know. I'm hopeful that, I mean, it stayed in the plan and everything, like Janelle said, the members came out, but I think they came around on that as we went through it to understand the importance of that.
Is there anything?
Because the public really latched onto that and supported the people that, you know, did participate.
Yes. So.
Was there anything in there about how the who's going to select the committee? If they took all that out, then how does the committee come into existence other than?
Yeah, that isn't in there because that's sort of the same, frankly, as an ordinance. You know, it's that level of detail is not something that's in the plan.
So basically, the plan says we should have a committee.
And this
right,
is what it should
and
do.
This, there is definitely a strategy that says to organize that committee.
And part of that discussion went too that I think the original list was fairly lengthy. They also wanted to keep a committee that reflected the types of backgrounds that are on that, but not necessarily have a committee of 20 people either.
Right.
You know, so
I get it.
You know, or whatever the number was.
Okay.
The population, they kept all the numbers that were discussed in detail from the commission, so the population numbers and the seasonal information did maintain. The future land use, as we went through with county council, we ended up doing a suitability analysis to look at land use based on traffic and a few other different things. So that changed, so that the future land use map has changed. The mixed residential areas is proposed to go away, as is the environmentally sensitive developing area.
It's not going away. That's been renamed.
It kind of got renamed. The name is proposed to go, and it's being replaced with the coastal areas land use classification. All the industrial areas that the commission said needed to be expanded are definitely in there. But this one, the land use classifications took on a suitability analysis based on where traffic is, what traffic is, land use availability near or adjacent to ag preservation, and a number of things to figure out what land is needed based on the population projections. So that's why that has changed. It also kind of got into detail if you're going to have density, some criteria as to where density should be located, because there was concern that density is needed, but not maybe in every location within those growth areas. So there's some criteria regarding that. And I know there was some concern about the agribusiness. That has remained. That section has remained. What was removed was the map, and that was based on concern that it identified certain areas, and what if other areas were more appropriate.
Or additionally appropriate.
But
the map's the only part that has the force of law.
Not that map. That's the future land use map that has the force of law. This was just a table that was in.
I thought we had outlined things on the future land use map of areas that we considered to be
we did that, but on a separate map. It wasn't on the future land use map.
Yeah, that was a separate individual map.
So the idea, it still remains that the agribusiness zone is referenced. The text is pretty much the same as it was before, mm-hmm. With all the explanation of what it is, what it's accomplished to do. There would have to be an ordinance, just like anything else in the plan, that would adopt that agribusiness zone that would then also tie to a map, whether the map was in the plan or not. So that really doesn't change anything. We still have to do the map. The important part is that it's teed up in the plan to do the agribusiness zones. And it's also in the, I think it's in the the economic development area.
I believe that one.
Is this going to be a subject of an ordinance at some point?
Whether the map was in there or not, it had to be an ordinance.
We're going to go through the identification exercise again.
Yeah.
Okay, well, don't throw the other map away. So.
No,
we have that.
Yeah.
We've
already done it once.
Yeah. and that was something that we went through with council. Let me back up to Mr. Wheatley's point on that. There's going to be an implementation sort of
phase
where there's going to be things essentially ranked, in terms of when we're going to start getting them. So, that one's important, I know, to the commission. I think it's important to certain members of council. Just make sure that gets pretty high up on that implementation thing.
Yeah. Just for the new members that haven't been through this land use plan cycle before, what happens now is the state gets it, they'll review it, they'll send a bunch of comments back, and we'll have to deal with the county council will have to deal with that. And then it goes back, and then once it gets signed, and then after that, what happens is the ordinances that are needed to support the plan, that will begin to work on those. And now county council sets the pace on that. And sometimes it's not particularly brisk, but I think in this instance, I think they realize we really do have to follow up with some of this stuff. And I think it's certainly appropriate for us to make suggestions either through Vince or Janelle to county council the things that we feel that should be priorities. So
council is going to be taking that up, so I think probably you know, there's not a technical requirement of how you do it, but I think what the commission should be involved in that, should either make a recommendation to council or comment on it when council goes through it, so yeah, that doesn't happen in a vacuum. I will say with the maps, there was a lot of emphasis that I know I had to do, trying to explain that those weren't just random points that were drawn on there, that the commission had drawn that agribusiness map up, taken into account infrastructure like roads, rail, natural gas, high-speed internet, you know, that type of thing, electric, but also what was around it in terms of ag preservation at times, because if you have ag preservation around those agribusiness areas, that by itself sort of creates an agricultural buffer from like residential use that could happen next door. And again, I'm not sure, because council wasn't involved in the, you know, the preparation of that. I mean, we educated them on that, but the initial reaction was, where did this map come from? Where did you determine these areas? So, but I think we got past that, but ultimately they took it out. So.
And was the developing zone, the environmental, the coastal zone, it looks like it was pulled back from what the environmentally sensitive developing area
was. Some of it shrank and some of it grew. Actually, some of it followed what the commission had said to grow, especially in the southern portion of the county. It kind of followed that. Some of it did kind of tweak a little bit here and there. But some of it grew and some of it did shrink.
What are the big differences between the environmentally sensitive developing area and the coastal area as far as what you can do in it and what's going to be promoted there?
So, and I think most of, you can do pretty much everything. We took out some of the heavy industrial because we didn't think that was appropriate in the coastal areas. You could do the new C5, the C4, most of the new commercial districts. You could do all of the residential districts. But again, it kind of, like right now it just says all housing types are appropriate. And in this it now says, you know, housing types are appropriate, but higher to medium to higher density are appropriate in if you're near commercial areas, if you're surrounded by similar uses, similar zoning, state strategies 1 and 2. So it gives a little bit more criteria to help kind of focus where density should go instead of just kind of everywhere.
Okay. In hindsight, I wish the commission had seen that. What was it, the suitability study?
Mm-hmm.
Because it took into account roadways, intersections, and traffic. And when you started looking at end population, that, you know, there was data that went into it. And it's interesting, it came out fairly close to what the commission had come up with, really, for the most part. But it was really interesting just to see how the numbers bore that out. But, just because it was data-driven.
Who did this suitability study?
McCormick-Taylor
did.
And actually, that was a change even when it was going through council, is they gave a better explanation into Chapter 4 of the future land uses to what criteria they used and how they came up with that.
They recommend a suitability study to us?
No, I think the commission's approach is more just looking at the maps and sort of drawing it based on,
I remember,
your own knowledge of how
things are. There's a few criteria you talked about, yeah.
So, and that's what made it an interesting comparison, because you all did it based on just sort of intuition, you know, dealing with land use, and they did it based on data. And it was interesting to see how the data played it out, but it was, you know, it, in a lot of places it was fairly consistent. They even remarked on that.
Mm-hmm. So.
Honey, we live here and got pretty good at knowing
imagine
what
everything is. Imagine that. Yeah. Imagine that. Okay, what else?
Those were the big things that happened that I could think of off the top of my head. My intent is to get it to state rather soon, and then we will get you all copies. If you want, it should be on the formal version. Will should be on the website in the next couple of days.
Electronic is fine.
Well, it is 283 pages. So if you would like it electronically, that would make staff's happy.
And I also understand that our request for iPads has been favorably received, so we may be seeing that in the next, but you know, this is government, so it could be 6 months from now. but at least it was not.
Okay.
It was looked upon as a good, as something, something we should probably do.
No.
But it's going to take a while.
It's, from the way I understand it now, it's just making, getting the technology to work, so.
I know, yeah, I know, takes some time. But the ordinance process that follows this is where the rubber's going to meet the road. And if we have to revisit the ag areas, then that's certainly what we can do. And we certainly have good base data for that, so, you know, since it's kind of already done, but.
I watched a lot of the meeting Tuesday on the computer, and didn't they say it was going to go to the state? It had to be the state by November.
It has to be signed by November.
It has to be done.
By June.
Right now, it needs to be to the state by August 1st. My goal is to get it to them tomorrow.
Yeah.
So the paperwork's done and everything's, I've got staff just triple checking to make sure there are no random track changes left in the document that I may have missed, so.
What about housing for affordable housing? What have we done with that?
That actually, I think they beefed that up. I know they didn't reduce that because there were many discussions about the need and the importance of that.
So now we'll get it to plus, I hope tomorrow, probably.
Hopefully.
And we're, you know, we've got that November date, and this is what we said to council, or I said to council, is that, you know, that's all well and good, but at this point, we're on the state's time frame, you know, so it goes to plus, just like, you know, these applications do, and all the agencies get a crack at it.
Yep.
And frankly, who knows what they're going to come back with. I mean,
I
think
saying that.
That's going to be probably a fairly good-sized list of things that they're going to, A, require, and B, request. And, you know, and the requirements we'll have to look at and see if we think that they really have the authority to require that. And the request we'll have to look at and see if their requests, you know, we want to adhere to.
Also known as picking your battles.
Yeah, right. So.
All right, anybody else have anything for the good of the order this evening? If not, we stand adjourned, peace and harmony prevailing.